Okay, well, good evening, or as David Frostwood used to say, hello, good evening and welcome to the Forever Bristol City podcast. We've got Dave Febbs in the room, the analyst. We've got Mark Tubby, the eternal optimist. And we've got me, and I'm the miserable soul. So we'll start off. Dave is going to try and join us. In the meantime, on his birthday, on the meantime, he'll do sound effects. So what we'll do is we'll start off with, as usual, with a summary of the game. Away you go, Mark.
24 games and 112 days since they drew 0-0 with Watford at Ashton Gate. City finally have a point, and it was a hard-won point on the road at Blackburn. Only 25% possession, but City repelled all borders tonight in what was a hard-working, if low-quality, performance that is another step on the education of Bristol City under Nigel Pearson. 3 points on Saturday, and I'm hoping he signs on. And that's it from me.
Right, Dave?
Yeah, I guess I was disappointed with how we played with the ball today, but I was quite happy with how we played without it. Certainly once it went over the halfway line and, you know, Blackburn had attacks, I thought we dealt with them pretty well. You know, I think they've got good patterns of play. They know what they're doing. I know they made changes tonight, but they're a kind of fairly well-drilled side under Mowbray, and I think we kept them at bay pretty well. And, you know, so happy with the point. Got to do better with the ball. What do you think,
Ian? Yeah, I think I wouldn't agree. I wouldn't disagree with any of that. I think our shape was better. I think it was much better in the second half because, I mean, Barry Douglas was on holiday in the first. He had so much room down that left-hand side. And it's one side of the formation that I don't like, which is you're asking attacking players to defend. And, I mean, if you look at with the two free kicks we gave away tonight on the edge of the box, one was Semenyo, and I think the other one was Naki Wells. So I think that's something we need to improve upon. But we can come on to what we can do versus Rotherham on Saturday. As an interesting question, just to throw out there earlier on, how do we feel about Nigel Pearson staying with the club? Firstly, how do you feel about it in terms of, yes, we'd like him to, or no, we wouldn't? And then how do you feel about it in terms of the likelihood of it happening?
Me first?
Yeah, you go first, Mark.
Yeah, I'm an ecstatic. I mean, events have conspired to bring us Nigel Pearson, and I'm hoping that, you know, I'm sure he's talking to the board regularly, and that they sign him up to a 2 or 3 year contract very soon. I think he's had a chance to look at the club. I think he likes it at Ashton Gate. I think he knows the work that he needs to do, but what he's instilled is a steely mentality into the team, and better organisation and work rate than we found under Dean Holden. I think he's benefiting from some of the players coming back, like Callum O'Dowda. He's transformed the fortunes of Palmer and Han-Noah Masengo particularly. I'm overjoyed to see him, you know, playing regularly. Palmer's now made seven straight starts. And I think that's a difference. Those players who looked like they were going nowhere under Holden now look like they could blossom under Pearson. Big turnover in the summer, but I fully expect us to move forward under Nigel Pearson next season. I'm certain of that.
So you're expecting him to be here, and you'd very much like him to be here. Yep.
Oh God, yeah. I think we've got a Premier League manager in the waiting there. You know, got manager of Premier League experience, and I think the club can only go forward with him at the helm. I think, you know, okay, the opportunity to attract players is going to be fantastic in the summer.
All right, Dave Febbs, what's your views?
Much the same, obviously delighted. I've probably said before that I did wonder whether we'd be able to attract a manager of Pearson's quality, or whether Lansdowne would bite the bullet on someone of Pearson's quality. The fact we have, I think Lansdowne's eventually realised that you actually do need someone of proven quality to get you up, or you're going to need to be very lucky. And he's had a go at a couple of bits of luck and it hasn't worked out ultimately. So I think you know, great that he's here. I honestly cannot see any situation where he won't be here in beyond the summer. I think the way he's talking, I think there's been a couple of probably three interviews in the last week where he's been asked the question. He said, you know, it's private, but he's pretty openly said, I'm really enjoying it here. And I think that's good enough. I think he just cut it short at, you know, we're not here to talk about my future at the moment. I think he's got us safe. I don't think there's any, you know, there's no doubts that we're not staying up. And I think it's look forward to the future from this point on. He's already starting to talk with players about contracts, isn't he? So he's obviously planning to be here. And I think it'll take a massive about turn from Lansdowne for it not to happen now. And I think Lansdowne would, you know, the fans would have his proverbials if he didn't take him up on it now.
Yeah, and I think a point I made earlier was about season ticket sales, and it would be the most Bristol City thing ever for Pearson to move on and Paul Simpson to get appointed. And I think if they did that, then tried to flog season tickets, I think they'd be in for a huge disappointment. So
yeah,
I'd like to think that we get it sorted out towards the end of the international break. I think that timing would be good.
Yeah.
And then he can start, because if I'm a player and he's saying to me, you're going to sign a new contract, the first thing I'm going to say to him is, well, what are you? And that way you can then have that conversation in the knowledge that the bloke that, you know, if you like him and you like his style, then you'll have no problem signing the contract, of course, unless you have got an ulterior motive or you want to, you know, you want to move closer to home. And you know, I understand that footballers are human beings. And if, for example, if Fan wants to move back to France, then, you know, good luck to the kid, but we should have sorted it out a year ago. Going back to tonight's game, Mark, who do you think were the players that came out of it for Bristol City with the most credit?
Tonight, Hanno Masengo. Yeah. And either Mariappa or Callas, because they just, when there were opportunities to play through the defence and get behind, they were able to you know, to block those holes, and they've been doing it very well under Pearson. I think we maybe Blackburn weren't just flinging the ball into the box. I mean, Brereton seemed to drift out to the right, and Armstrong's not the tallest player, so they tried to play round you. Other teams like Rotherham, you know, will try and hit Michael Smith if he's available, won't they? And try and beat you that way. But I thought Masengo again was tremendous. You know, he's now shown what he can do with that improvement in his physique, and he's technically good on the ball, and he can spring attacks. So I think those, you know, either Mariappa or Callas, and definitely Masengo tonight were best for me in what was generally a good defensive performance, because we didn't see much at the other end.
Dave, who were your man or men of the match?
I think Mariappa was my man of the match in terms of calling out an individual. I thought he was excellent tonight. I actually thought Callas had a few wobbly bits tonight. Wobbly moments, not sure about wobbly bits, but so there was a little spell, wasn't there, in the first half where a couple of balls went in behind him and he just didn't react. But, you know, he still had a decent game. I just don't think he was anywhere near the level of what Mariappa did tonight. I thought there was one tackle on the edge of the box quite late on from Mariappa, which was, I guess it reminded me a little bit of kind of like Bobby Moore against, was it Pele? Or was it Jarzini? I can't remember who he actually tackled where, and it was just a great time tackle where you're fearing that if you don't get it right, it's going to be a penalty, certainly with that referee. Masengo, good. You know, wasn't brilliant tonight, but I thought he got through a really good shift in there, and I thought he closed them down ever so well in there, and I thought he was the better of the two defensive midfielders. I thought Palmer had another good game. Looks like he's got bags of energy. You know, some of his pressing, you know, I thought he put Pham to shame up there tonight in terms of performance. And I think call out to Jack Hunt. I thought defensively he was excellent tonight. The number of times he got round the back of people and covered, I thought was good. And O'Leary had probably an opportunity to play tonight that he thought he might probably not get under Pearson before the end of the season. And I think he's proved himself to be an able deputy. Don't get me wrong. I think we all want Bentley to stay. But I think if Bentley did go, you'd bring in someone else. And I think you'd have two players then battling it out if you don't get someone of the quality of Bentley. And so I wouldn't be fearful. He's still got, you know, he's inexperienced, but he did himself no harm tonight.
To Zizou, when we tried to trigger, when we tried to play the pressing trigger in the first half, he just got bypassed. They were able to play out quite easily because he just didn't press quick enough. And there was one move when he just let Rothwell drift past him, and he made that run where Semenyo fouled him on the edge of the area. He could have easily tried to pick him up as he went over the halfway line, but he just let him go. You just can't
do that. I think the problem that you've got with Pham is that I think he's an instinctive footballer, and I don't think he's not a natural in a pressing game, is he? So if you're going to press, you might be better off with Naki Wells as the one up top. But if Naki's up there, what you can't do is bomb the ball forward in the air, because in football, in terms of blokes, a midget. So if you're going to play Naki as your one, particularly against a big team like Rotherham, what you don't want to be doing is sending the ball forward in the air. And I think you'll see Nigel Pearson possibly do something different after we get the Rotherham game out of the way. If we can play, if we can get the points from that game, then, you know, we'll go up to 52 points, and at that point you're safe. And then if he's going to give Lewis Britton a game or one of the other young lads, I think he's more likely to do it then than he is at the moment. Had we won tonight, it might be different, but I think he's going to want, having lost his first two home games, having lost the first two home games, I think he's going to want to get a home win on the board, that's for sure. So why don't we go from tonight, which was not the most entertaining game of football you've ever seen in your life, on to the game against Rotherham. Now, when we played Rotherham up at the New York Stadium, we got stuffed. It was 3-0, and I think if it had been 6, we couldn't have had any complaints. We were terrible from the first minute to the last. Dave Fevs, if you're picking the team on Saturday against Rotherham, what team do you pick? What formation, and how do you play?
I think I'm quite happy to see the current system that he's employing. Guess we'll wait and see if Bentley was just kind of unwell today, or whether it's, you know, anything more than that. But yeah, I guess, you know, if Bentley's fit, he comes back in my opinion. I wouldn't mind seeing Sessegnon have a rest, to be honest, although it's only one game and he's off on, you know, international break. I just think he's come back and he's played quite a bit, and I don't want him to pick up any niggles, but that's my main worry. And in which case, if I do play Sessegnon, then I wouldn't mind seeing Viner play it right back and give Hunt a rest as well. I want to see our fullbacks just given a bit of a break. And I know they've got, you know,
who would you play left back?
It depends on who I rest. I think I'd like to play Viner, and therefore if I rest Sessegnon, I might play Hunt there. I don't know, that sounds a bit weird. But then again, if I rest Sessegnon, I think I'd go with Hunt at left back and play Viner. Sorry, if I rested Hunt, I'd go with Viner at right back and keep Sessegnon. I'm not sure Rotherham's the game for Towler.
Yeah, I mean, it's a difficult game. So would you stick to the 4-2-3-1 / 4-5-1 / 4-3-3 that we're playing at the moment?
Yeah, I think, you know, I wouldn't mind seeing Backinson off the naughty step and just seeing whether, you know, being on the naughty steps, giving him a kick up the backside and bringing him back in. I think we've got lots of options now, which is great. I think I'd definitely give O'Dowd a start on the left-hand side, or even maybe on the right-hand side instead of Semenyo, depending on who you want to play. I think it's really difficult to sit here straight after the game without knowing if anyone's picked up any knocks. It's only a short turnaround to Saturday, but I think we've got options now. And I said a couple of weeks ago, and with a couple of other people on the forum, that 4-2-3-1 is probably the easiest formation to switch players around in. I know that sounds a bit weird, but
yeah.
But it does, because all of a sudden we saw Masengo went and played in the number 10 role for the last quarter of an hour of the game tonight, didn't we? You know, we've not seen him in probably what might actually be his favourite position. So,
yeah. Well, it is, because, I mean, he plays eight or 10 for France, yeah, under 21s or under 23s, whoever he plays for. So we know he can play there. And I've got to be honest, on Semenyo, Masengo, I think he's the fittest player at the club. I mean, he had more running than him. As much run, yeah. He must have run about 50 miles tonight.
Yeah,
front to back.
We all, you know, it's been well documented and well said on here around, you know, he probably bulked up a bit quickly at the back end of last season, and then this season he was struggling to get going again, and then perhaps he had that bout of COVID, because when he first came back after that, he didn't look himself, and then I think from Brentford onwards. And I know he's not played many games since Brentford. He has probably only three starts, but a few sub appearances. He's looked much more like that Masengo that burst onto the scene last season. And I think that bodes really well. All of a sudden, you know, he's not someone who looks like he needs a League One loan, is he?
No, I don't think he was. I mean, there was an attempt.
No, I didn't either, but lots of people were saying that, weren't they?
Yeah, there was an attempt to turn him into...
Lee Johnson,
RoboCop. Well, yeah. No. If you look at him now than he did last season, he looks like he's put a couple of stone in weight, but he's done a lot of conditioning work. His upper body looks completely different, doesn't he?
Yeah, and I think he's a talented footballer, and we all tend to forget the kid's only 19, and that's like a lot of our players. You know, you won't see them in. We'll move on to discuss what we do in the closed season and what we need to bring in. But Masengo is still technically in the Bristol City under 21 squad, along with Semenyo, along with Backinson. So
what he needs is regular games, and he's getting them. What we've got to do on Saturday is stop the crosses coming in the box from their wing backs. Wiles and Ola Sunday played the other night against Watford. We can drop back into a 4-5-1 when we're defending. I think you could put Canamo, it's a good case for putting Canamo Dowda on the left, on the 4-2-3-1 to counter one of their wing backs. I think he's capable of making a tackle and getting a toe through and getting us behind. And he looked very good when he came on tonight. You know, bringing that off the bench, positive running against, what's his name, Costello, whose first name I've forgotten tonight. You know, he looked like he wanted to go forward. What we've got to do is, I mean, we failed to stop the wing backs when they played 3-4-3 against QPR, but I think the mentality will be different. I think that was one, you know, just the only real big step back we've had since Nigel Pearson's been here. And so, yeah, I expect us to progress, and it'll be a really tough game. But if we can stop those wing backs, and what they'll try and do is win free kicks in our half with bar laser playing the ball into the box. So don't give away cheap free kicks. Keep the balls away from the wing backs and the ball come into the box. And I think we've got enough to get behind them and win this game. It won't be easy, but
how about playing in their half, dominating possession, and then they don't get anywhere near our penalty area to pump the ball in, unless obviously they want to do it from the halfway line, in which case they're going to be offside. Yeah. Is that an option? Because I don't think we can afford to give a team like Rotherham 70% or even 50% possession. Because if we do that and retreat into our penalty area, we're going to be in a lot of trouble, even though they're not a very good side. Because if they were a good side, they wouldn't be... three from bottom on 32 points, would they?
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting.
No, and our problem is, it's been for the last few seasons, the more possession we have, the worse that we look, because none of the midfield players ever get beyond the ball. I think with 4-2-3-1, that gives you the option of doing that. The number 10 could play in a false position and encourages the three midfielders to get beyond them. So, you know, Pham can hold the ball up well, as he did for that third goal. That was a classic a play where he took the ball from Callas and just cushioned it back into the path of Palmer and played that ball through for O'Dowd. That was a wonderful goal, wonderful team move.
So let's assume let's assume that everybody's fit. Here's a question for you. Can you fit Liam Walsh and Casey Palmer in the same midfield? And if so, how?
No.
Yeah, I think we saw it tonight, didn't we? That when Walsh came on, Palmer still played in the 10, and Walsh, I think there's a lot of people, because Walsh is attack minded, a lot of people think he's a natural for the attacking midfield or number 10 role. But his role at at Coventry was one of the deep two and dictating the play from there. So I don't think he's necessarily a threat for playing in that kind of hole position that Palmer played tonight. I think it's about who do you get alongside him to play as one of those two in the 4-2-3-1. And I think there are multiple players you could play in there. You know, you could play Viner alongside him to provide a bit of steel. You could play Backinson if his head's on it. I think it's probably a little bit of a risk to maybe start Backinson and Walsh in there on Saturday. But I was just going to go back and kind of go back to the game where we played them early on the season. And for me, I've never seen so many players look like rabbits in the headlights. To me, it looked like they'd done no preparation for what to expect from Rotherham. And I think if there's one thing Pearson won't allow is that to happen, and that we'll be fully geared up. And I think, Ian, what you're saying, we have to play a bit of a higher line. Michael Smith's not going to run in behind you. Lathapo might run the channels a little bit, or Vassell if he plays.
I think he's on loan, isn't he? Vassell's gone out, or sold. Yeah, he's gone out.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. So, you know, they might run you channels, but they ain't going to run over the top of you centrally. You know, they don't have that type of game in them. They'll be hitting lots of diags into Michael Smith. And we've got... If we play a higher line, then where does Smith go with the ball when he gets it? Nowhere. He goes backwards. If he flicks on, it's just into the gap in behind, and we should be mopping that up. But what we can afford to do is to let them get the ball around the halfway line with their head up and it diags. If they're going to hit diags, do it from like edge of their box where their clearance is, rather than long passes. So I think he needs to pick the side that can help us get up the pitch. And I think, I think Callas and Mariappa together has actually stopped us dropping quite as deep as we have done previously. I think Mariappa's a good organiser. I think that'll be okay. But so, I've digressed a little bit away from the point. So I think you can play Walsh as one of those two. Who are you playing? You might play Lansbury again with him. I think Lansbury was a little bit lacking tonight. I thought he had a good game on Saturday, but I thought he was it bypassed.
I'm just wondering today. with Emery Lansbury, if he's got the legs to play three games in a week, bearing in mind the guy's hardly played any football for 3 years.
Yeah, he'd be the one I'd probably be looking to not play on Saturday out of.
And play Viner instead?
It depends. I've probably said, said earlier, I wouldn't mind seeing Viner in the back four, but I think, we've got options. You've got Backinson to come back in as well. But yeah, we'll see. I don't think I can... confident enough with the players we've got to say, I'm sure Pearson's going to go with this on Saturday. Never did it with Lee Johnson. I'm not going to do it after a few games of Pearson. I don't think I've quite sussed out what his approach is to picking a side, although it looks like, you're in possession of the shirt. That looks to be a principle. Whether three games in a week, certainly with a Wednesday, Saturday coming at the end of it, having to travel back from Blackburn, probably means there ain't going to be too much preparation time, and it's going to be very much rest up and, be tactical preparation rather than physical preparation. But we've got the players change things around. Yeah, sorry.
Okay, bearing in mind what Rotherham are like and throwing it in as a what if, would you consider playing three at the back and bringing in Big Baker? Mark?
Yeah, sorry.
Well, he hasn't. Yeah, I mean, I thought he would have been on the bench for the last couple of games, ever made an appearance for the under-23s. I don't know if he's played any under-23s football since then.
No.
I don't think Pearson will want to change the back four because it does look compact. I think there might be a case for changing Hunt, and I think he might like to see more, you know, from both, you know, on the attacking side from both his fullbacks, if possible. And really, this game represents a complete sea change from all the teams that we played. They'd be the most direct side that we played since Pearson took charge. I mean, that game back in December came off the back of the win against Blackburn, funny enough, when we were probably lucky to win 1-0 at the end. But yeah, as Dave said, physically, we lost every single battle, all the first and second balls. And yeah, it was, you just couldn't see us getting a consolation goal. They look like they go on and get more goals. They got their, I think they're two in the first half, but it was just such a walk in the park for them. And they were, you know, right down the other end of the league. But I think Pearson has instilled a lot more mental strength in that team than we saw under Holden. And I've got no doubt that we would be fighting a relegation battle if he was still there. So it's organising players. There's a lot more work to do. You know, it's not like Lazarus rising up the league, threatening the playoff positions, but there's been a head of a marked improvement in those players, in the way that they're able to, you know, affect the game. Didn't have a lot of possession tonight, but I thought, you know, in terms of organisation, we were expected to win on this Saturday coming, and we're expected to take the game to Rotherham, who will probably defend deep. So that will be a test as well. How do we do that? How do we get players in front of the ball? How do we get behind them?
Actually, if Rotherham come down to defend, I think that would suit us down to the ground, particularly if we're going to start or think about starting Liam Walsh in midfield. Because my only doubt about Walshy a little bit, and whether I would, and I wonder whether you can fit him in Palmer into the same team, is that I think he lacks some defensive ability. He hasn't got the defensive ability of a Zach Viner or a Henry Lansbury, possibly even a Tyreek Backinson, who isn't, I mean, Ty's not the hardest tackler I've ever seen, because bearing in mind, once again, he's a great big tall young lad who in some cases seems to have outgrown his strength a little bit. He's tall, but I wouldn't describe him as being physical or particularly good in the air. So like you say, I mean, in that formation, you could probably come up with, when they're all fit, six players who could play in the two, and probably six again who could play comfortably in that three behind the striker. So going on to looking a little bit further ahead and going on to next season, I've given this a little bit of thought and I'll give you a chance to think about it. I think we need to sign at the end of the season, if all the guys that are out of contract go, and all the guys that are in contract stay, so assuming those things and assuming Nigel Pearson's the manager, I think we need to sign 8 senior players, because we finish up with 15 still in contract, 1-5, and 3 of those are keepers. So
is that extended, I think, options we need to, as well, Ian?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I'm allowing, for example, for Wyman to stay. Because he's got a 1-year option, which probably won't have a look at him after he gets fit over his ACL. So you've got 12 senior outfield players. Bearing in mind that Walsh is one of the ones out of contract, so I'm assuming he's going. And I'm assuming that Pham's going and Tommy Rowe, they might all stay. I think we need 8 players. And then infill, that would give us 23 players. Once again, that's 20 outfield players and 3 keepers. And then you add into that squad Masengo, Backinson, Semenyo, the Edwards brothers, and anybody else that you think, well, okay, we'll give them, we'll give Lewis Britton a go, as we know Pham's going, and we need a big unit up front. And I think it would be, that's my opinion on what we need to do. So, Dave, to start with, what would your views on that be?
Yeah, pretty similar. I think Walsh will sign a contract, but play by your rules. Yeah, if we need certain positions filled, I think right back's one position. I wrote a piece on OTIB about a week ago where I kind of said, as a default, I listed who I thought would stay. And I did have Walsh in that. And I had Vyman as well. But I thought you start off, you know, your summer or your recruitment with Viner as your right back, just because you've got to have a right back. And then you think, right, who do I bring in? If I can get two in, then Viner suddenly becomes your centre back again. So I kind of played around with that a little bit. I think it'd be interesting over the next few games whether he sticks with 4-2-3-1. If he does, then I think your squad and your options increase a bit, because I think, you know, you, if you're looking at right backs, it's far easier to find decent right backs than it is probably to find decent right wing backs. And I think, you know, Mark's mentioned him tonight, Olasunde, the American lad from Rotherham, should be high up on our list, I would have thought. I quite like Niambi from Blackburn, who's interested
on contract.
He was on the bench at the moment. I don't know whether that's because he's not signed a contract. I don't know. He's much more of a right back than a right wing back. So that's kind of where I'm looking. De Silva, I'd go and get a left back. One I really rate.
How about Cam Pring?
Well, my only worry with Cam Pring is he's older than Jay De Silva. He's 23 and he's yet to play at this level. And
yeah.
And so I think he's got some ability, but if De Silva was out, I'm not convinced. Or I guess I haven't seen enough of him to know whether he's good enough for this level, so I'd be probably looking to get another left back.
Yeah, because we've got, once they're all fit, we've got a little bit of an, in terms of younger players coming through, we've got a little bit of an embarrassment of riches, because we've got Vince Harper, we've got, I won't count Riley Towler, because I think he's more of a left centre back than left back. So don't count him, but you've got Vince Harper, you've got young Barney Sodhi, you've got Cameron Pring, and you've got George Nurse. That's four. I'm like you. I'm worried about De Silva because he's been out more or less two seasons now with exactly the same injury, that stress fracture in the shin.
He's got a pin this time, hasn't he? I think so. You know, hopefully that'll solve it.
Sounds like it was a proper break this time.
Or fracture, I think, or whatever the technical term is. Yeah.
So hopefully, like you, I rate the kid. I would like it if we had a few more six-footers in the side, and nothing against him, but a good big one's always better than a good little one. I mean, unless you count Lionel Messi, and then that theory goes right out the window. Yeah. But I mean, Ronaldo's a big one, and he's not bad, is he? But I look at it, I think, do we need a holding midfield player? Yeah, we probably do, because if we play, and if we're going to play, if Baker goes and we play three at the back, we're going to need two left-sided centre-backs. Although somebody was telling me today about, and I saw Tinian tweet about how good Robbie Cundy was. He's doing gangbusters for Gillingham, apparently. The Gillingham fans love him.
Yeah, he's right-sided. He's certainly right-sided.
Are you sure that's not James Morrison?
No,
James Moran can't get in the team. That's why he was back in
place. Cundy's there as well, is he?
Yeah, Cundy's been really good. He's played every game since he's been there, I think.
And they're shooting up the league, aren't they, as well, Gillingham? They're only a few points outside the playoffs.
Well, I think the games he's played, they've done something like 1-7, drew two, lost four. That's since he's been there. So, and that's, you know, we all talk about, oh, well, it's only League One, but I mean, it's a blooming good division in a lot of ways when you get up towards the top end of it. And but if he's right-sided, that gives us four right-sided centre-backs if Maps leaves. And to be honest, on what I've seen of him, I'd be looking to offer Mariapo a one-year deal.
I would be
I think he's earned it.
6 weeks ago, I probably wouldn't have, but I think he might be good to
He's playing in the right position. I mean, Bobby Moore was the greatest defender I've ever seen, but he couldn't play left back. And I think Maps is the same, to be honest. And I think he's got a character, and I could imagine him in the middle of two big uns, if you will, because he's only about 5'9". Put him in the middle of Callas and Baker, pulling their strings and telling them where to go. As a three, I think he'd be a valuable player. But we've also got, let's not forget, we've got Taylor Moore and Zach Viner. Yeah, so Cundy comes in, we've got a pile of right-sided centre-backs.
It's really interesting. I'm just looking at my little bit of data here. So Cundy, Taylor Moore and Zach Viner are all 23 and they all turn 24 within 18 days of each other in May. So, you know, Cundy's not young, but if he really is improving at a rapid rate, then I can see them. He's admittedly out of contract as well, in summer, but he's got a year option. So he is someone that I think will take that option because I think people will see some value in him, even if it is to sell on. But
What position does Cundy play again? He's midfielder, is he?
No, centre-back.
Centre-back. He's a centre-back.
He can play as well. So I didn't see him at Bath, but I know people who saw him at Bath and they said he's really composed on the ball. I was asking a Cambridge United fan earlier on today about him and they said he did pretty well on the ball as well. And, you know, in Cambridge are a decent side. So he's obviously impressed enough in that first half a season to get Steve Evans to look at him. And I'm hoping that Steve Evans, being the type of manager he is, will actually, you know, introduce that bit of nastiness to him as well. Not that I'm saying he's not, because I haven't seen enough of him, but he'll give him that winning attitude. I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back in the summer. We offer him we take out his year option and say, right, you've got an opportunity here to be part of the squad. Go and take it. And I think he might be fighting out with Taylor Moore.
The other player that we will be looking in the summer as well, of course, to come back would be Joe Williams.
That's the holding midfielder, I think.
So do we need another holding midfield player, or would you say Joe Williams and Hanno Masengo would be a good combination? And there's lots of people that can play in that too. You've got Naj, you've got Viner, you've got, Liam Backinson. If Liam Walsh, even if Liam Walsh goes, that's five that can play in that too. And then you move forward to the three and say who can play there. And there's, you know, I think we probably need, let's say Semenyo and O'Dowd are your first choice wide players of that too. I think you've got Palmer can play in the middle of it. Weimann can play in the middle of it or on the right-hand side of it. So, up front, you've, don't forget, Chris Martin will be back.
Yeah.
You've got Naki Wells. you've got Naki Wells. I'll call Semenyo a wide player, but I think unless one of the young lads comes through, we do need to bring in a qualitative, I'll call it a target man to differentiate it from being a smaller striker.
I'd probably differ on that a bit, but you know we'll see how it goes. Just going back to the midfielder, I would say a defensive midfielder or someone to sit in that two is a lower priority. Unless you could get a really good one, and you can get a really good and cheap. So if there's someone suddenly became available of Joe Williams' ability, and I know most fans won't have seen much of Joe Williams, but he is exactly what we want in there. And if we could get another like him, then I might be tempted. But I don't think it'd be priority with the other players we've got. And then I think all the other things you talk about around wide players, you know, we've got O'Dowd, we've got Semenyo. I think it'd be interesting whether Edwards is one to fill in there as well. I think we might have some. They might be a little bit too far away to be kind of playing there week in week out or providing competition week out. But I wouldn't probably be looking for a big man. I'd use Chris Martin as my big man, even if he's not mobile, and play him in the game. But I want to not play him every week like Holden did, and I'd be looking for a younger, quicker striker. That would be my fam replacement. I wouldn't replace him like for like. I'd replace him with something completely the opposite.
So you'd want somebody that could play in a high press, if we accept that we're going to play more like we did at Birmingham, not like we did tonight. And it may be that, you know, Birmingham can't be that dreadful because they beat Reading tonight, didn't they?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So it may have been that a combination of two things. It may have been that we were a bit good. And in fairness, they did it the post twice. before we scored on Saturday. And if one of those goes in, it could be an entirely different game.
Yeah.
Well, what they did was, Jeremy Bella in the games against us recently looked very threatening on the left-hand side and has got crossing into the box. And I think he scored as well last season at Ashton Gate. And he looked like he was going to cause us problems again on Saturday. But once we got those two... those two dodgy moments out of the way, when Callas, when Togan got goal side of Callas on both occasions, it was near the end of the first half.
Callas made a brilliant block on the first one.
It was going away from goal, wasn't it? I think it was a hard chance for Hogan because it was a narrow angle.
Yeah, but he got it on target, and Callas has got enough on it to take it onto the post. It's moved the ball about 6 foot from its intended line by him getting a bit of a block on it, so I think we have to give Callas credit there.
Perhaps I did him a disservice. He just get past him on the second one, but he didn't give him a sniff for the rest of the game, which was great. And then we just started turning the ball over. I mean, what I'd like to see us play like is, have the industry of a team like Leeds, but their one man up front is Patrick Bamford, but he really works the defenders, and they're an incredibly fit team, and I think that's what we need to do, improve our fitness. But you've got to, and as you say, Ian, you've got to make the centre backs, the full backs, you've got to put them under pressure, make them work hard to get the ball out of defence. That's what I'd like to see us do. But I mean, we have to be a lot fitter, and I think it need a different striker to Famar Azizu because he's not really built for that type of game. But that's what
He doesn't hold the ball up. The only thing I'll say about Pham is if we possibly replaced him, Sergio Aguero's out of contract. So I'm now going to be completely unreasonable and say...
Would he fit in?
Yeah. I don't care if the other 10 don't play, long as he does. But it's that type of mobile striker is what you're saying. I think Pham's, let's not knock Pham. He's been our top goal scorer for the last couple of seasons at least, and in terms of defending corners, and I know you don't pick your strikers on the basis of their defensive abilities, but it doesn't half help when you've got a bloke that size who can head the ball away from Lee Johnson's pomos. that's where you want a bloke, isn't it, who can head the ball away. I mean, Chris Martin did it when he was playing, but obviously he's injured at the moment. On that note, let's discuss whether we bring in, and I'll call them experienced players, because we haven't had a great experience this year in terms of injuries. I'm thinking of Chris Brunt, who did his calf and then more or less, he retired and left the squad. Chris Martin is at an operation on his hamstring. He won't be back until next season. Henry Lansbury? It took us a while to get him anything like match fit. Should we sign Henry Lansbury? I've already said about Mariappa. So what should we do about it? Should we be looking at, I don't know, players around 25, 26, or, set a limit at 30? Or what should we be looking at, Dave?
I'd like us to focus back on young players with something to develop, and that's not for the future. This is first team players ready now, but we're going to get better and grow with us. That's what I want to see. And I'd probably, as a bit of an exception, I'd look at maybe, I think Alex Mowat's out of contract in the summer. I think he's either 25 or he'll be 26 when the summer comes around. That's about as far as I'd go. I wouldn't pay a fee for anyone on that age. I'd only bring in free transfer. And I don't think we need anyone of like 30 plus. I think the squad's got enough age in it. I just want better players. And preferably I want those better players to be young so that they grow with us. And if they don't, go up or whatever, then we sell them for money and we make money on them. So I always like it to, if they're not coming through the academy, let's get players as good as Reed and Brian that we've got for free or we've got them very cheap and they're good enough to play for us in the first team, and then they might outgrow us. Well, if they outgrow us, then good luck to them. But that means they've done well for us, and that's what I want. I don't want players who aren't good enough to come in and play for us. That's my kind of mantra on this.
Yeah, Mark, what do you think? I mean, for example, would you give Henry Lansbury a new contract, assuming that he lasts the rest of the season and he's fit?
Yeah, that's a question. I mean, the guy's 31 years old. He hasn't played much football. I think he would really have to impress Nigel Pearson in the last few games. And if he can show that hunger and range of passing, you know, we saw a bit of in the Birmingham game, but I think he really, you know, he really has to do a lot to win me over and Pearson over. I don't know what wages he's on, but I think he's like one of those players. He's only on a short-term contract, and who will want to take him on? You know, players are wrong side of 30 and, you know, hasn't played a lot of football. It's a big risk. I think we've got some great young players coming through. It's unfortunate, you know, for the George Nurses and the Cam Prings that are not fit, because I think they're going to be behind.
George Nurse is now fit. He played for the under.
Oh, he is now fit, is he? My apologies.
He played for the under 23s in the 3-0 draw with Millwall. I did one story that Rennie Gilmartin told was quite interesting tonight, that they had some big lads playing for Millwall, and apparently the first thing in the first 2 minutes, Lewis Britton smashed one of them.
Gave him a
welcome to Bristol City challenge, and that's, we're really short of, I'm not talking about, you know, somebody being a bit homicidal or anything like that, but we are short of physicality. I look at players like Masengo, not so much Masengo now, but Nagy, Backinson, they're not going to hurt you. And I think sometimes we suffer because of that.
That's what we had in League One, didn't we?
Mm.
Yeah. With Aaron Wilbraham, you could stick one on a defender, you know, stick his studs down a guy's leg, and that's what he did. You know, he made, you know, he was there. Anyway, sorry, Dave, I interrupted you.
Yeah, I was just going to say about Lansbury. I've got no idea what player contracts are, but my gut feel is that Lansbury is not on much money here, because he's taken a payoff from Villa that he could afford to come to us and just take a massive wage reduction. But that's very different to what contract that he might want in a summer to stay here when he's not being paid by Villa anymore. So he's got enough in his back pocket from his Villa payoff to, you know, be able to say, yeah, it doesn't matter if I'm on, you know, $6,000-$8,000 at Bristol City. But in the summer, he'll be looking for more. And unless he suddenly becomes a revelation, I think he's not the kind of player that I think we should be looking at.
What do you think will happen? We will hopefully, please God, will be post COVID. What do you think will happen, assuming that Nigel stays, the season tickets go well, we're all feeling a little bit more happy clappy and looking forward to the season? What do you think will be in Steve Lansdowne's mind? Because we've pondered all these players being out of contract and the reasoning behind it. And we've suggested, or some people have suggested it, well, come the end of the season, wages are going to go down. There'll be a lot of available players, et cetera, et cetera. Unless we say, for example, we sold Bentley for 15 million or something, I think they'd give Pearson the vast majority of that and say, right, but where do you want to spend it? But I can't see us spending that much. And by that much, I can't see us making even £3-4 million signings in a post-COVID environment. And whether other people will, I'm not sure. And I'm not sure they will either.
No, I don't think they will.
No, there's no way you're going to return to the... I mean, look at British Sombolonga about 3 or 4 years ago, cost Middlesbrough 15 million, and that'd be an aberration now. I mean, we spent 8 million on Callas last summer before last, probably 4 million on Casey Palmer, and we were all questioning that probably into the last few weeks, but I think those are going to be high figures. Apart from the clubs that come down, you know, like the West Broms and the Sheffield United, a lot of parachutes payments, but even they know they're going to take a big hit if they've, you know, blown it on wages. I think, you know, everybody's going to have to be sensible, and there's a lot of wheeling and dealing to be done. And I think, yeah,
we've got just been contacted on the mobile by a special guest. As you know, it's Dave's birthday.
It's 50th, isn't it?
And well, 50 plus 20, I think. And I'm I rang my mate Sean, who is back by popular demand, and he'd just like to say a few words.
Sean Taylor?
It's bloke, Sidney Poitier. Where is he? I'm afraid he's not here tonight, Sean. He can't. What? No, he can't sign in. Do you know I charge a bloke rent who lives in my house? Yeah, you mentioned it, Sean, last time you were on. Get him on. Get Sidney Poitier on. I liked him. He's good. No, it's David Poitier. Who? Well, I've never heard of him. Well, no, you wouldn't. He's not very well known. He used to do a lot on Radio Bristol. He was all right then. And I know for a fact, no, not Radio Bristol, GWR. I do apologise. Stop waffling and get him on here. Sorry, Sean, but he's not here. I'll tell you what, we're doing this again on Saturday and you can come in. I'm busy. I run a football team. Have I told you I charge a bloke rent to live in my house? Yeah, you have, Sean. All right, so, sorry, Sean's gone. We can get back on with the football. So Mark, you think we're not going to spend a lot of money. Dave thinks we're not going to spend a lot of money. I think we're not going to spend a lot of money. Are any of the clubs, I mean, I'm thinking about the clubs coming down with the parachute money, and you've only got to look at the top of the table to see what a difference that makes in the main, not always in the main. Do you think those clubs will almost automatically go back up? And let's say those three clubs are Newcastle, Sheffield United, and I couldn't believe they sacked Chris Wilder. Newcastle, Sheffield United, and West Brom. Let's say those three come down. Are they almost certain to go back up automatically?
Top six. Sheffield United, I think their messiah was Chris Wilder, and I think they'll regret sacking him. You know, a manager who took Northampton up from League Two the season we got Lee Johnson, 15-16. And then went to Sheffield United, and within three seasons, you know, got them into the Premier League. But yeah, I think they're the only ones who've got the wherewithal to spend money on players, and they're, you know, they're going to have the strongest squads. And look at Norwich, play a great brand of football, but the team they wheeled and dealed, bought a lot of good quality players for little money. I don't know what wages they're on. Perhaps Dave knows more about that, you know, but look at something like Wendia, what a great player he is. I think it only cost him, I think it was 1.4 million.
Well, when they beat us there, I was talking to a Norwich fan, and he told me that their entire team had cost them about 8 million quid, which is what we paid for Kallas.
I know.
So I think they paid good wages.
I'm going to be sitting
wrong,
now.
But yeah. No, yeah, that's what they did.
Yeah, I think.
Go on, Dave. Sorry.
Yeah, no, that's okay. I think Norwich very much when they got promoted said we ain't going to spend much money because we're not going to knacker ourselves if we come back down, and they've been very sensible about it. And what they've done is they've left themselves in a real position of strength to be able to hold on to most of their players. They lost a couple, didn't they? I think it was Lewis.
Godfrey went to Everton, didn't he?
Yeah,
anyone else went?
Lewis, didn't he, as well? But you know, they then use that money fairly wisely. They've got loans in, etc. And yeah, in effect, they weren't really any weaker this season than they were in the Premier League last year. And you know, have got about it the right way. I think Sheffield United, in some respects, are probably paying this season from doing a Norwich the season before, but actually staying up. So they bought a lot of players, didn't they, when they first went up, like your Freemans, like your Callum Robinsons and people like that, who they knew would be more than good enough to get them back up should they come back down. And then they exceeded expectations. And now they've got kind of a bit of unbalancedness about, that's probably not a word, is it, about their squad. And I think, I'm not saying they're not going to be in the running next season, because they probably will, because they've got enough decent players. But I do think Wilder was a big part of that. And it'll be very interesting to see how they cope with someone else in charge. It wouldn't surprise me if you know, the fact that Tyndall's gone there and his best mates with the new owner or chairman or something like that, it wouldn't surprise me if that's kind of just gearing up for Eddie Howe to come in. And then if Eddie Howe comes in, I think, you know, they've got as good a replacement for Wilder as you could probably get. And people say, well, why don't they go and get Eddie Howe now? He's available. It wouldn't surprise me if there's something in his contract from Bournemouth that says either, you know, you can't go and get a job for a year or you can't go to a Premier League team within a year. And that's
it's what a he's talking about. Is the Celtic job still available, though? Nobody's stepped into Lennon's shoes, have they?
Well, it is, but what you have to remember is the way that a lot of managers are paid off these days is they're not, it's not like years ago when they used to get paid in a lump sum. You know, at some point, some clubs and I think Rovers might be one of them, where they're paying three managers. So the guy they sacked, the guy that replaced him, Ben Garner, Tisdale, and Joey Barton are probably all being paid a salary by Bristol Rovers. That would be my guess.
We might still be paying something for Johnson, might we? Even though he's at Sunderland, you know, depends on what the payoff terms were and how much he's earning at Sunderland.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly, Dave. And you know, I mean, I don't blame anybody that's got a contract. I mean, you hang on until you're sacked, and then people have to go on paying you. They don't have to pay you off in a lump sum. They have to go on paying you until you get another job.
Yeah,
so and I think there's always a negotiation. Yeah. To have it by going to your existing chairman and say, look, I've got a chance of a job. It's 5-10 grand a week less than I was on here. I will take it, but you know, you owe me £3 million. Well, give me £2 million and I'll take it. And I think there's a lot of that goes on.
And it
in football management, failure is a lucrative business, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, any senior management job is. I used to work with a guy who told me that his claim to fame was that he was a multi-millionaire because he'd had three highly paid jobs in the City of London and he'd been fired from them all.
Yeah.
And
did he say that?
He made so much money. He made about £3.5 million in payoffs. You know, and this is going
so
back.
So instead of back me or sack me, sack me or sack me, is it?
Well, there's no, you know, if you get rid of somebody who's got a 2-year contract on 750 grand a year, you've got to give him 1.5 million less tax, obviously. And years ago, you used to be able to have that paid straight into a pension fund. You can't have that anymore. It don't work.
Just to finish on Eddie Howe, it wouldn't surprise me if Bournemouth would expect compensation this season if Sheffield United appointed him now. And that's why it might happen in the summer, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, so the same thing with the Celtic job. So, you know, but to conclude, I'll start and then we can all do a bit on this and then we'll call it a night. I think where we are at the moment is I think we're not going to go up, we're not going to go down, we're not going to make the playoffs. And it's just a matter of playing some decent, positive football for the next 9 games and winning as many as possible. But I would really like to see some of the younger lads get a shout. And I don't mean for 5 minutes at the end of games. I mean, particularly if we beat Rotherham, I'd like to see some of those lads get, you know, a good 20 minutes. Mark, what do you think?
Yeah, I think I'd like to see players like Pham be under pressure. Perhaps be dropped to the bench for a game and say, look, you're not a shoo-in just because, you know, physically you're the biggest guy and you're the top goal scorer. You're not guaranteed a place in the team. And I think, you know, Nigel Pearson does bring on young players. The great thing he did with Riley Taylor, even though he hooked him before half time at Swansea, it was good to say in a post-match interview, I told him that you've been part of 2 wins. And it was a team effort, and that they all won together. Didn't single out players for criticism, despite having to hook them. So I think you'll be great for young players who are coming through. I think you'll be great for man management. And during the summer, I'd expect him to bring in somebody like Ken Way as a sports psychologist who worked very well for him at Leicester, or somebody similar if they don't want to come all the way over to Bristol, because I think that's what he's all about, the positivity and getting that edge, you know, that little,
all right,
that little bit extra.
Thanks, Mark. Dave, Do you agree with where I think we are, basically?
Yeah, I think I just want to see that kind of building of confidence and building of a well-drilled system that is going to be the foundation for summer recruitment and taking it forward from there. That's what I want to see. I'm probably not quite as fussed about some of the young players. You know, if they're ready, then absolutely. You know, and if Sam Bell's been sat on the bench for however many, you know, 20 or 30 games like he has, and he thinks he's good enough to play or be given a chance, then give him a chance. But don't, I don't want to see kind of like token appearances given out. I don't think Pearson would do that anyway.
I guess
Sam Bell's an interesting one because I feel a bit gutted for him in some respects in that he's missed out on probably three quarters of a season of playing under 23 football. I hope being with the first team squad has helped his development rather than hampered it by not having game time. So, you know, I think, you know, if you just see someone like that play, Louis Britton, if he's good enough as well, you know, I played with his old man and against his old man. And if he's anything like his old man, he's going to be a bloody hell of a character and a tough competitor. And I think what you said early on about, you know, whacking a couple of Millwall players, that's exactly what his old man used to do. And if he's got that competitive instinct about him, it wouldn't surprise me if he came in and he does all right. I think he scores all sorts of goals as well. You know, he's not a player who's kind of limited to tap-ins or anything like that. He'll work his opportunities. He'll bully his man around.
He's not a head on the stick either, is he?
He's got something about him.
I think
there's a lot of clubs interested in him as well. Allegedly.
Just so they don't feel left out, you know, I'd say the same about Tommy Conway.
Yeah.
You know, if we're looking to rest Sessegnon after the Rotherham game, give Vince Harper 25 minutes or give him a start. Yeah. And like you say, like we did with Towder, you can always hook him.
Yeah, maybe Nurse comes back in, perhaps.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, yeah. I'd like to see them before we decide that, you know, because we've had so many players over the year that people have said, oh, yeah, he's great. And he gets in and so, and you think, he's all right. But, you know, but I mean, I remember the season, Bobby Reid's breakthrough season. And the only reason he got a go up front is because all the other strikers were injured, because he was going to go out on loan back down to Plymouth as a midfield player.
Yeah.
And so what we'll do, it's now 23:05. I'm starting to get some feedback, so something's gone wrong with Dave's sound as well. Somebody's just said we aren't playing Rotherham, are we? 25 positive COVID tests. So I suppose we'll.
We might not even have a game.
We might not even have a game. Yeah, I mean, I know that their manager won't be there because he's isolated, I know that they reopened the training ground today. So we'll just have to take that under advisement. I actually, got to be honest, I wouldn't mind it if it was cancelled rather than take any risk. And I don't suppose the club would let us do that.
Yeah.
So, and Loud Lease has just informed us that's over the past 2 weeks, but still a lot. Probably
players
10
and
times
staff
the total.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. All right, gents, well, thank you very much. Thanks, Sean, for his special appearance. I'm getting requests now. I'm working on Neil Warnock, and I'm working on an interview where he's being interviewed about the reasons for a 14-0 defeat. So that should be all right once I can crack that. So we'll do that as well. Really enjoyed it tonight. Sorry, Dave couldn't
well hosted
with it. Thank you.
Thanks for coming off the bench for that, Ian.
Yeah, I have to see if Dave can get his sound system sorted out. He's got this whacking great big posh house, and but he ain't got any Wi-Fi. So I'll have to take him
can
up
they,
a router.
Can they find the wire long enough then?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think he's got a problem with his Wi-Fi or something like that. But anyway, God bless everybody, and we'll do another one 6 o'clock on Saturday after the Rotherham game. Fingers crossed we play it. Good luck.
Yeah, stay safe, everybody. Thanks for listening.